There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Easy to get in touch with us here at the show. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. And speaking of which, one text here before we get to our guest this hour. To answer Chris's question and probably a lot of other people about the, you know, the fear, and this has happened. Like I said, I just was in this conversation in the last 24 hours. But the idea of the theft of title, you get the identity theft, we talk about that, but the theft of title to the home, these are things that really have happened. Maybe the commercials make you think it happens more often, but it's impacted my family as well. They caught it, title company caught it, but they're trying it. This texter, unnamed texter, so Chris and others said, Baldwin County has a free alert system regarding property. So I'd love to know more about that system. If you're listening there and you're running that in Baldwin County, let me know. Give me some links here and we'll get you on the show to talk about that because that's pretty darn important. All right. It is prime time, if there ever has been prime time, for this man. Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin joins us. Good to see you.
Sean, great to be here.
You've got
time. Hey, before we talk about anything else, could I, I'd rather, you know, light a candle than curse your darkness, okay?
Okay.
We have a passive alert system in Mobile County for anybody that owns property would like to sign in. They can create a username and password in our benchmark system, our landmark system that tracks property. And if something comes across our system that has that name on it, it'll send an email saying that something's been filed. You may want to check it out.
Okay. So, and I'll come back and write this stuff down. But so somebody's listening to us right now. First thing they do, go to the website for
Mobile County Probate Court website. We have it's our system's called Landmark, which is our internal system that we do all our recording through. And it has a process, and if you need some help, you can call our IT folks at the office and they can help walk you through it. But you set up a username and a password, and it creates a profile, and in that profile the name that you indicate is your name, the legal name. If some document comes across the recording system that has that matches that name, it will send an email that says we've received a document related to this that has this name on it. It could be a, you know, mortgage, deed, lien, judgment, whatever. It's going to send a email. It's a passive alert, and we hope that anybody that needs to use it can use it. We certainly encourage you to do it. I know that this legislature just had a bill that related to this whole idea of fraud on a title. And and while I'm not familiar with a particular case in Mobile County where it was uncovered that somebody forged documents that created a cloud on somebody's title, it has happened in context of family and friends and things that it's been uncovered that someone's done something surreptitious with your title, but this would be a good way to at least keep track of it.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell you the break. I mean, this was a piece of property out of state, but they had presented an ID with their picture, but the ID was for my late father, my dead father. Wow. They had all his information. It was something.
Well, I know that's not the subject for today. I didn't come prepared exactly book, chapter, and verse, but we will provide that to you, and you can put that out for people that want to come to our website.
So they're already asking, once again, for the, so go to the Mobile County.
Yeah, Mobile County Probate Court website. Follow the links there. There should be a tab related to land records. or Landmark. Mm-hmm. If not, there's a number there you can at least call. Or let me give you
so
the information.
Anybody, yeah, and then I can pass. So, but the idea, just the takeaway, is somebody files something. It comes across through the website. It's got your name on it. You get an email saying, by the way, was this you?
Kinda? Right. Well, it just says something was filed that matched this name. Gives you a chance to check and see. That's, instead of waiting 5 or 10 years to find out somebody's, which happened in the past with some people.
Okay. You'll be hearing this in the future as a tightly recorded public service announcement, but for right now you're getting the first blush at this. This is important, and we may be crashing the website because I'm looking at the number of people on the text line interested in this.
Let them know. Everybody, we will get the information to Sean. He can publish it, and we'll have some. We'll send some information out, you know, through the county's social media about that. And hopefully get the word out.
Very good. So there, man, we just
got, here to serve, Sean. Here to serve.
I appreciate that. So let's talk about that. As you've got a lot going on here, we are, you know, less than a week away from the primary. And I let everybody say it, remind folks, we are voting on Tuesday.
Yeah, I would. What I'd like to ban is the media's use of the word confusion. That's just been on this, like, that's the first word everybody's talking about. Let me be clear. There should be no confusion about the fact that we're having an election on Tuesday. That's happening. Nothing has changed. Nothing's going to alter the process. Nothing alters anything related to that election on the front end. Go cast your ballot. We have a ton of races to determine. So please go vote. What happens on the back end with regard to the congressional races, we'll deal with. The results, we'll deal with whatever happens to the results from Tuesday on the congressional races. And if we, in fact, end up having an election in August, we're going to do that. You're going to give a notice. All the procedures will be in place. So nobody needs to, like, panic about what's going to happen on the 19th. And what I'm afraid of is, in a lot of this discussion, is people won't realize that the 19th really isn't even the end of the primary, because we have a number of races that I fully expect will be in a runoff mode 4 weeks later on June 16th. And I just don't want all the talk about August to overshadow what's going to happen June 16th, because we've got to go back and vote for the runoffs.
Because people can get confused, too, because when we read the governor's tweet, or somebody in her office put it out the other day, it was saying, about that August date, that'll be without a runoff. Like, it's going to be winner take all. But that's for the thing in August.
Right.
The thing coming up on Tuesday still has a normal structure, and runoffs will be in June.
100%. So all of the races not impacted by this current dispute over congressional maps, all the other races on the ballot are subject to the current law, which means if there's not a 50% plus one vote winner on Tuesday, the top two vote getters will run off on June 16th in each of those races where that happens. So let's just make sure everybody understands that is still the process for all of those races, except currently the questions about the congressional races.
Okay. Next one, and by the way, we'll get to y'all's text. You drop those questions. I mean, you got the man sitting right here, so ask him at 251-343-0106. Before we go any further, though, where do I vote? Where's my place? It is made pretty easy now going online. I mean, we're closed for registration, but, I mean, are people still confused about where they vote?
Your voter file is still at alabamavotes.gov. It's part of the Secretary of State's website. If you just find yourself to the Secretary of State's general website, there's a link to alabamavotes.gov there. You can type your information in. It will give you your location. It'll tell you which districts you're voting in, which House district, Senate district, school board, whatever. It may be a subset of the county you vote in based on your address. So a lot of information there. And
it shows you your polling place.
Your polling place. And I know we've had this discussion the last time I was on with you about the changes. I want everybody to appreciate and understand any change to a voting place that has occurred for May 19th has been in place since, I think, the last change we made was like March 9th.
Okay.
So if anybody out there says, well, they changed it at the last minute, that's bull.
Not true.
That's not true. So don't listen to that. The county commission made all these changes that we needed to make for various reasons well before the election, way back in January, February. Like I said, maybe the first week of March, we had the final change we had to make. All of those positions, those locations have been set since then. You should have a card from the Board of Registrars. If your location changed from the last time, they should have a physical postcard sent. Again, The AlabamaVotes.gov is updated with those locations. We are going to have signage at the former location, big 4x8 signs by the county. The county is going to put out for us that direct you to the new location. So as an example, if you just have not been listening to anything anyone has said and you go to St. Paul's to vote on Tuesday, there's going to be a sign there. Hopefully we won't destroy any of the, you know, ground, the shrubbery. But we're going to put up a sign that says go to Dauphin Way Baptist. So all of those locations will have signage like that. So
you couldn't get – my idea was Rouse's. You couldn't get that done?
No, we didn't. That was, there was some –
You could vote, get some crawfish. Yeah,
you know, okay. I know. There were some ADA issues with that, I think. I don't know. But no, Dauphin Way Baptist there, as an example, and there are others. I just want to make sure everybody knows that we're going to do all we can do to get the voters to the right location. But check it. You can just check it ahead
of time. That's the cool thing. And y'all be prophets here. So as we leave – as we conclude here, we're not concluding now, but it's just being like at the end of church. Go, you know, go forth with this message. And the message is, y'all know it, but make sure everybody you know, say, just go. It's easy. I've done it. Go to AlabamaVotes.gov, and it shows you this is where your polling place is, and it's accurate, up to date, and it's right there.
Should be updated.
All right. We're coming back. We'll talk more about this. I got plenty of questions coming in on the text line. You can add to those, 251-343-0106. We'll get into... the scramble here going into Tuesday. Not for us, the voters, but what it means to administer an election. More with Judge Mark Irwin when we return.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. And I've got a promise here from Judge Irwin. He's going to come back. We will talk more about that. Right now you can look at go to the Mobile County probate site, website, and start that process for getting a heads up if somebody's if something with your name on it comes through.
Just
there.
Just an alert system that sends, pretty slick. Sends an alert.
So that's going to have you come back and talk about that more in depth. Right now, we're talking about this run to Tuesday. So here's my checklist for you. All right. What in your steps, you know, less than a week away, are the voting machines tested? You got everything good? Has that happened before? Does it happen the day before? When's that happened?
No, they have already been tested, and they have been locked, sealed, and ready for transport. That process will start, kind of goes over several days between Thursday and Sunday, basically. The county contracts the moving of the machines under the supervision of the sheriff, and they locate the machines at each of the precincts, preset them over the weekend. And so all of the testing was done. Everything worked out great. Like I said, we zero the machines, put the seals on them. We monitor those seals. And if anything happens that looks like it's been messed with at all by election day, we do not put any machine into service unless we have to go out and test it again. You know, we'll do that before we put a machine into service that we feel like has had any other hands on it besides ours.
Yeah, and I'm going to go through these are my frequently asked questions list, and then we'll probably have some of the same ones on the text line. But how often are those machines, do they get recalibrated, audited, certified?
Certainly. Annually, at a minimum, they're part of our maintenance program that the county has with the vendor, provides for annual service, which includes any firmware, software, or sometimes hardware upgrades if some are needed. But they do that off-season, basically, without us being in the middle of an election, but they do it at least annually. And then, of course, we do all the logic testing beforehand to make sure.
Hey, explain that to me, the logic.
So basically what we do is we create a test deck of ballots that we know what the outcome is. We know what the expected outcome of those ballots would be. And then we physically run those ballots.
So you feed them in there.
Through each machine.
Okay.
And print out a result. And
does it match?
And we do an audit. That's a part of our testing. We do an audit of the expected result versus what we got from the machine itself to confirm that it calculated. And we actually we go a little step further in Mobile County than I think maybe even is required. We actually, I won't try to say fool the machine, but we run known wrong ballots from other precincts.
Okay.
We test that, make sure it rejects the ballots it should reject. So we try to run an absentee ballot through it, make sure it rejects an absentee ballot that somebody may bring into the poll. We run a sample ballot from some other precinct because our ballots in Mobile County are programmed to only work in the ballot counter in your specific precinct. So if you grab
your ballot, bring a ballot from one place and take it somewhere
else. You couldn't take it out and you couldn't make 100 copies of it at Kinko's.
Gotcha.
And walk into another precinct and stuff them in a ballot counter. So that's not going to work. And so we test that. We test the overvote. If someone marks more than one person on a particular race, make sure it alerts the way it's supposed to. If they blank, if somehow they mark their ballot but they don't actually follow the instructions and oval in the ovals, if they circle or they
versus fill it in the Scantron,
right? If they don't correctly do it, and it turns out to be it shows up as a blank ballot in that case because no oval was darkened. Then we test that. We have a blank ballot. We test. So we run it through all of these. These procedures just to make sure that the functioning of the machine is operating the way it's supposed to before we put it into service. And then again, once we confirm that, we zero the machine, we restock the strip tape, the paper tape in it, make sure it's all ready to go for Tuesday. And then we close those up, seal them, and we actually put physical seals on the outside of each machine, and then we wrap it in like a Saran wrapping.
The Visqueen,
It's kind of a Saran wrap, thicker Saran wrap material.
They ship stuff.
Shipping, right, for shipping. And we instruct our inspectors that if there appears to be anything out of place on that machine when you approach it, for election day, that's a call to us first. And if one of those seals has been broken or appears to be missing, that's a call to us. No machine goes into service if that seal, both of those seals on the front of it have been tampered with or broken or missing. And honestly, in the past, once or twice, we have had an inspector call on election morning and say, hey, I unwrapped the machine, took the plastic off of it, but once I did, the seal fell off, was not attached anymore. And that's fine. We go out. We actually run the test deck through it again, confirm it again, then zero it out, close it down, and bring it back up before it's used by a voter. But what we have found is that typically that's some inadvertence in the moving on and off the truck. Somebody bumped it, banged it, or maybe banged the two machines together a little bit, and it clipped that seal and knocked it off for some reason. We haven't ever
But you are going to go run through it again.
Yeah, we've never found one that we believed had been tampered with intentionally by an individual. But regardless, we're going to go run our test deck through that machine again, confirm it again, bring it all the way down to zero, bring it all the way back up before any voter uses it.
You brought close on time, but I want to start this because you mentioned absentee. You were talking about putting an absentee through a regular. So absentee voting, what are you doing in the county for verification, security on absentee ballots? Can people feel good about the absentee ballots here?
Well, I'll just say just my personal opinion that if we have a weak link in our current election process, it's probably the absentee ballot procedure, right? I think what we do is as good as we're going to be able to do as long as this kind of procedure for mailing in ballots is around. But there are some things that obviously create the potential for individuals to assert undue influence on people or to try to manipulate that process in order to cast a ballot that we won't know 100% was the thoughts and intent of the voter.
Yeah.
But the legislature has done a number of things over the last few years to sort of tighten that up a little bit. First, I would disagree with any proposal that would go with a no-excuse absentee process. There needs to be some parameters. Why do you need to vote absentee?
Right, right.
I mean, and there's got to be a more limited version of that than more expanded version of that.
Right.
And there were some people who just wanted to take all the excuses off, like we did during COVID.
Yes.
And we basically removed the excuse, and just everybody wanted to could vote absentee. And I do not support that. But
we'll pick that up when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's get a little discussion of inventory. You had one, you were just talking to me during the news break about a, what BMW were you talking about?
Little X3. We do really good with little BMW sedans, coupes, small SUVs. This is a X3, which is their smaller SUV. It's a 2018, 60,000 miles. It's a black color, or black with a tan interior. Really good combination. The miles are the devil on that car. It's that's a good piece. Also got a new Ram truck came in today, so we got a really good selection of trucks and small SUVs. If you're looking, come see us.
All right, and if they want to look at it even before they put a shadow on you down there at LCM, they could do it online.
Yes, we're at lcmmotorcars.com. You can look at it from your telephone, your desktop, either one. You can communicate with us back and forth via text. You can go on there and look at the Carfax. Anything you need to do, fill out a credit app. Everything's right there on the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There goes David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin. And your text coming in at 251-343-0106. But I do want to go, because it's my show, back to my question here. We're talking about absentees. And you said, you're saying something important, because that was a lot of the discussion over what happened, you know, in that cycle with COVID. And people are saying, well, there's fraud here and fraud there. And those are good discussions to have, but one of the things that was obvious is states removed the guide rails for why you could absentee vote, right?
Well, there's no doubt. I think if, in my view, just, and I can't get into all the details people talk about other jurisdictions, right, states where things may or may not have happened, I would know, but I can tell you what happened in Mobile County. And if you looked at the historical average for presidential elections over the last 20 years and tracked the number of absentee ballots, they are all within a range, you know, of 10 to 12,000, maybe 10 to 13,000 absentee ballots per presidential
kinda
cycle.
Averages out. Okay.
Kind of averages out. I'd say about 12,000.
Okay.
Maybe 10, but regardless, it's pretty flat.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you get to 2020,
mm-hmm.
and we processed 27,000 absentee ballots.
Wow.
During the COVID general election year. And then guess what? The next presidential cycle, it's right back down to average and has been for the last two.
I mean, but play devil's advocate, could it be just people were scared to go outside and be around other people?
You know, this is what I don't get. So, yeah, they were supposed to be. That's the reason they didn't want to go to the poll, because they were scared of COVID.
Right.
Well, they packed hundreds deep in the hallway at the courthouse to do their absentee ballot process in person. Busloads packed in the hallway, face to face, back to back, you know, standing in line for hours at a time to do it there, as opposed to going to their poll where they could
There'd
have been
a lot
in
less
out in
people.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get the theory on that, but that was the I guess the, you know, the reason that was given for why we needed to relax the rules is because people were afraid to go to the polls. But I didn't see that in practice.
Speaking of that kind of, and not that you made that accusation there, but you know, people always talk about voter fraud. Do we have any credible cases of voter fraud in Mobile County?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we
what does it look like? I mean, I know you can't talk about it, but what does it look like?
No, I can tell you. This is what it looks like. It looks like a worker at a local nursing home who suddenly shows up as the witness and looks like the exact same person filled out the absentee application for about 10 people. It all happened to be on that hall of the nursing home locally, and turn it over. Turns out that nobody in the family or nobody associated with the actual patient had any idea someone was helping them with an absentee ballot, and the same person did it over and over. Turns out that one or two of the people may have actually been, you know, wards of the court who were already deemed incapacitated and unable to cast votes because they've been deemed to be incapacitated. So you turn that over to the DA's office, and there's prosecution for that. So that's one little example. But over the years, there have been numerous examples of what what's been termed as ballot harvesting.
But, yeah, you know, that's the term.
It's absentee fraud. Basically, this person goes out and has either a group of people they can get in touch with, like in a nursing home or a group home, and these people may or may not have the mental capability to actually understand the process they're going through, but this person's helping them through the process. Mm-hmm. And in turn, basically, they are just marking their ballots for them and putting them in the envelope, and the person puts a mark on it saying they signed it, and, you know, it's witnessed by somebody, and the same people witness all of them, and next thing you know, you've got a dozen, 25, whatever ballots that look to be
exactly
all
the
exact same. Just the mark or the signature is the only thing that looks to be different. And you know there's something wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there have been some turned over to the DA's office and the Attorney General's office to investigate, and there have been some prosecutions in the past. So, no, it's something we have to stay on top of. There's nothing that we can just back off and say we're not concerned about that anymore. We are definitely concerned that there could be fraud in the absentee ballot process.
And this is what's important, too. It's not just a theory. It could happen. It might be happening. It has happened.
No, it has happened. I laugh whenever I hear people, or really, I should say, I choke when I hear people say, there's no evidence of voter fraud. Well, it may be not on the scale of a guy walking in with 1,000 ballots and sticking them in the stuff. And, you know, this isn't like LBJ box 157 or whatever it is. No, I don't know about that. But I do know it is still fraud if it's one ballot.
That's taken from an absentee. If you're in control of more than one vote.
Exactly.
In this United States of America, that is fraud.
So if a number of people at a nursing home are taken advantage of by somebody who knows how to work the system, that's still fraud, even if it's five people. It doesn't have to be 1,000. It's still fraud. So, yeah, we have to be vigilant, and I want to say I appreciate the DA's office. They have been, you know, willing to get involved and look at those, investigate. The sheriff's office helped with that year before last, when we thought there were some things going on we needed them to look at. So we are looking at it, and if we find evidence of it, I can tell you local authorities are going to prosecute it.
Well, we talk about that, like ballot harvesting, just in general, have election law changes does that make your job easier or harder or no change or what?
I think that was a good change, the anti-ballot harvesting.
Yeah.
And the fact is the individual voter has to control that process or either you have an opening for fraud, right? And so right now the voter has the authority they have to bring us the application.
Okay.
If they're going to do it in person, it's got to be the voter. They can't go out and grab up a whole bunch of applications around the neighborhood, bring them all down in batches like they used to.
Okay.
It has to be the single voter delivers their application. And if they're going to return their vote, to the actual physical office, they bring it themselves. People can't gather up ballots and bring them back.
Yeah, bringing this in for the neighborhood.
So if they're going to handle it by mail, it's got to come from the person, their address, and it's going to their address, and it's got to come from their address to be processed. So we can't have folks gathering up 15, 20, 100 ballots and then putting them all in a bundle and shipping them down at one time.
Yeah, so in other words, on the address thing, too, that if it's mailed in and you've already gotten one absentee for voter, you know, I guess you can figure out how many registered voters there are at 1234 Elm Street. And how many ballots have come in from there, right? Because it's going to be.
Well, let me say this too, real quick, that if you even applied for an absentee ballot, requested the ballot, and it was processed, but you never returned the ballot, you didn't fill it out, you didn't return it, and you show up to the poll on election day, it's the system's going to say you requested an absentee ballot.
That's a good thing to know.
And so you're going to need to do a provisional at the poll, which will be counted the next week when we determine you did not return your absentee, your actual ballot at the poll provisional will be counted.
So you asked for an absentee, but then the trip to, you know, wherever.
Didn't work out.
Yeah. You're not going to be out of the country. So you just sitting there on the coffee table, you throw it in the trash or whatever. You go to vote, they say, you're going to have to vote provisional.
That's right.
Until we can prove you have not.
Exactly. It happens all the time. And people will bring their absentee ballot to the poll and try to turn it in. We go, no, we don't need that. Hang on to that. But you still have to vote a provisional at the poll if you did not return your absentee ballot through the regular absentee process.
Okay. That's a thing that may affect people out there. So make sure that word gets spread as well. We're coming right back. More with the judge right here on Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. This segment brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Pushing, I guess, 19 years now of getting rid of junk everywhere in Mobile and Baldwin County. And it could be, you know, you think about what he does and the crew. Stuff out of your house, garage, storage units, which, by the way, you're talking about in this economy, you want to free up a little money. Do you need all the junk you're storing at the storage unit? Get rid of that. But Trey reminds me to remind y'all, and it's good, they tackle big projects too. So if you have the gigantic swing set in the backyard, your youngest child is in their mid-30s, you may need to let it go. Above ground pool, you bought a house, they got that, you don't want that, they can handle that too. Storage building in the backyard, you want it gone, the content's gone, they can do that as well. So stuff inside your house, outside your house, if it's junk you want gone, you want out of your life, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And the appointment process, oh my gosh, it's so easy. Their name is the number, right? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Either place you go on there, they're going to find out what day you want to do this, what time you want to do this. They set a good old-fashioned appointment. Then all you have to do when they get there is point at the junk you want gone. They'll quote you a price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done then. Use the people I've used and so many of us around here. And if you look at the Google reviews, hundreds and hundreds of other folks right here in Mobile and Baldwin County talk about what a great service they have with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue with our conversation. And this is going to be the last one before the primary. Now, we've been talking to probate Judge Mark Irwin, but this will be the third or fourth time.
Third
time. And then looks like we're probably going to do it again during the summer, because you pointed out, number one, we're all voting on Tuesday. And then don't forget, because I think the judge's estimation is correct, we're probably looking at some runoff. We'll be voting again in June in the runoff.
Almost unavoidable, and just if you just look at the statistics of it.
Yep. So, and then we're looking at the August stuff.
Correct. So at least we're looking at it. We don't know exactly what we're going to be doing then, but
right,
at least it looks like it's in the works. But we're going to be prepared. And I just want everybody to know that the court and the sheriff's office and the circuit clerk's office, we kind of form and the county commission, the different agencies that are involved in the election process, you know, we're geared up. We're ready to go. I mean, we'll respond to whatever instructions we're given. And we'll make sure that the election is prepared and ready, and the voters have their say, whether that's, you know, next week and all the races that are on the ballot, or if we need to come back August 11th, then we're going to have your say. So I don't think anybody needs to worry about the process being prepared. Now, you can argue the policy and the decision-making. That's fine. That's not my business. But the process is going to be ready.
Okay. Speaking back to process, too. So Freddie said, remind the new city residents of West Mobile that their city polling place may be different than their county polling place, and I would suggest putting up signs at Woodridge Baptist Church indicating that. I guess that's a...
Well, I appreciate that.
AlabamaVotes.gov, y'all can find it.
Yeah, you can check that out. But I will say this. We do get a lot of complaint or comment, maybe better word, that we don't overlap completely all of our federal, state, and county election locations with what your city. Doesn't even matter if it's Saraland or Mobile or Sims. It doesn't matter. Some of those locations are different than where you vote in our elections. And so, yes, you do need to confirm. Some of those we do not use. And if you go there, it's going to look vacant or closed or just having its regular Tuesday, whatever that is for whatever the facility is. But you'll need to get to your regular poll, which is out in that area. There's a couple options, but that local, the one he's mentioned, is not a poll for our county elections.
Yeah, and there, and once again, this all gets, when you go to AlabamaVotes.gov, I've done this, and it was eye-opening for me, too. You can tell because it's going to show you where you're going for the specific election.
Correct.
You're going for. So even if it changes through the year, you had a municipal, and then the next year you have a statewide, it's going to change and show you that.
Right.
So
it's a valuable tool, and I encourage everyone to use it. But just don't be frustrated if you get caught up on election day. Give yourself time so that you're not running right up at the end and realize you've gone to the wrong place. Just be prepared.
Okay, this from David. For the judge, for those of us that actually, I was going to ask you about poll workers too, but he said, for those of us that actually work the polls in various capacities, the process for allowing us to vote should be made easier. I've worked the polls for years at a polling station that is not assigned to me. I can't vote there in person on the actual day. The only way for us that work polling stations is to vote by absentee ballot. I work full time, so I can't go downtown and get a mail-in ballot, so I don't ever vote. The process has got to be easier for us. There's some irony, too. Somebody who works the polls who doesn't get to vote.
Yeah,
let me
just say this. The goal that we start with every election is we want to man the polls, staff the polls with people who live in that specific precinct. Okay, that's the number one sort of overarching principle. There's a lot of reasons for that. One of is being brought up here, but frankly, the biggest principle that we want to have people in the polls who actually live and vote in that same poll, work the poll, is because part of our concept is your neighbors run the election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the big, you know, the big bad person behind the curtain running the election. Your neighbors are there watching the process for you and assuring that you have an easy, efficient process. So there's some benefit in that, and I think our system is brilliant in that respect. However, there are times when, for different reasons, we have, you know, holes to fill, different situations pop up where we need to assign someone to work who is not in their home precinct. It does occur, and we certainly encourage anyone in that situation to vote an absentee ballot. And there's plenty of time, and I don't know the gentleman's circumstance, and I'll be around on election day. If he wants to chat with me about it, I'll be glad to. Our staff will. But you can do that process without having to come downtown. You can, you know, send in a mail in a application and get the ballot sent to your home, fill out the ballot, you know, get it notarized, get it witnessed, mail it back. You know, that process can be done remotely. It does not have to be done downtown. I just say downtown, you can do it all at one time in person, which makes it so much more convenient. It's kind of like going to the poll. Mm-hmm. But if you come down to the absentee ballot office, you can go from the application to getting your ballot printed to filling it out to having it sealed in the envelope, witnessed by the witnesses, and it's ready for counting all in one 15-minute, you know, time at the
right.
Court. However, you can do it by mail. That's part of the process, is have the ballot mailed to you. So I would hope that the person asking the question, we could figure out a way to make sure they have the information to take advantage of getting the ballot mailed to their home if they don't have the freedom of time to come downtown, you know, pre-election. But that's the process we have. And if we can figure out a system that works better, maybe we can work on that. But the problem is, if you're assigned to a poll, that's an all-day shift from open to close. There's no breaks to leave and come mm-hmm. back. And so we don't have the flexibility of allowing you to.
I mean, there's some irony in this. David's text is a heck of a one.
I know,
somebody
David,
who works
I
the polls
work
who
David.
Doesn't get to vote.
I don't know who that is right off the top of my head, but if we need to talk and figure out a way between now and the runoff to make sure that you appreciate the process for doing that by mail, let's get that out there. We'll walk you through that process and make sure that you don't miss the opportunity to vote. I would hate to think that by serving you're missing the opportunity to cast your ballot, okay? we certainly don't want that to be the case. So we'll work with them to make sure that we hopefully give them the resources they need and the information they need to cast a ballot.
You and I have talked about this several times and only have about 30 seconds left, but have to ask this question every time because we'll get it on the text line from folks. Are the voting machines in Mobile County connected to the internet?
The vote tabulators at your precinct are not connected to anything but the power outlet in the wall. They are self-contained. They're not connected to each other. They're not connected to any network. They're not connected to anything other than the power cord.
Okay.
And so we get the results out of those, and they're the results from that one machine, and that's all the results that come off that machine.
All right. Go ahead and eat your Wheaties and get ready for next week.
We appreciate your help, Sean, getting the word out on this stuff. It's important.
Hey, thank you, Judge. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.